All right. You're in our Sunday school study on bibliology. We've been studying the Bible itself as a whole, and where we got the Bible, how we know the Bible is the Word of God. We studied the revelation that God reveals Himself through the Bible. There's no other way we can know God except that He reveal Himself to us, because it's not about just what men or people think about God. God has to show Himself to us, or we'd never be able to really know Him. Because no man can really conceive of God. We studied the inspiration of the Bible, how the Bible was God-breathed. Yes, it was written by 40 different human penmen, but God wrote through them. And how do we know God really did that? Because the Bible has no contradictions in it all the way through. It was written over 1,500 years by 40 different penmen on three different continents when there was no communications, and there's no contradictions anywhere in it, unlike any other so-called holy book in the world. For instance, the Quran has contradiction on every page. I've read probably a third of the Quran so far. Every single page contradicts what you just read before at some point. And contradictions all the way through it. That just shows what man's ideas about religion and God do. But when it's written by God, why, there's no contradictions at all. Then we looked at the inerrancy of the Bible and the infallibility of the Bible. The inerrancy being that God has perfectly preserved His Word, and that there are no errors in the Bible at all. There have been people who have proclaimed that the Bible has taught something, and it wasn't in the Bible at all. So I had one man say to me one time, well, there are errors in the Bible because men thought that the world was flat for many, many years, and that they got that out of the Bible. And I said, you are so wrong. And he said, what do you mean? God says in the Bible that the world is a globe. That's where Columbus got his idea that the world was not flat at all, but it was a globe, right? Straight out of Scripture. God's Word was always right. It's just that men were wrong. And that's what you got to get right. You got to understand the Bible is inerrant. And then we studied the canonicity of the Bible, how we got the books of the Bible that we have that come together to compose the Bible we hold in our hand. By the way, the Bible you hold in your hand, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, is the same Bible Jesus held in His hands. And as far as the canonicity of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, when Jesus held those Scriptures up and said, these are the Scriptures, these are the Word of God, as far as I'm concerned, He settled it. Amen? He settled it. Canonicity of the Bible. Then we studied for a number of weeks the transmission of the Bible, how the Bible came to us through time, through history. And I hope that was very informative for you. Now, does anybody have any questions about what we've studied so far in the Bible before we go on today? Well, our Lord settled the Old Testament was settled before our Lord came on the face of the earth. Now the Bible was not in a book form. The Bible was not in what they would call a codex until many years after Christ. It was in scrolls, and there was different scrolls. But when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, you got to remember that the last book of the Old Testament was written 400 years before Christ arrived. And when Christ was here and He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which speak of Me. He was talking about the Scriptures that He and the Jews held as Scriptures. So as far as the Old Testament's canonicity is concerned, that was settled by Jesus Christ Himself when He was here on the face of this earth. The Scriptures that the Jews held as the Word of God, and Jesus said, these are the Scriptures. That's what you hold those very same books of the Bible right here in your hand. Now, over time, they started what you put in together in a codex, so they weren't a scroll anymore. It came together, and we have by the way, what's the word Bible mean? It means book. Came together to a book. Now, the different scrolls are all represented here in the Old Testament. Now, of course, the New Testament came together as the apostles and the apostolic fathers. The apostolic fathers are the men who were taught by the apostles. That's what we mean by apostolic fathers. They were men who were directly taught. They walked with the apostles. They were taught by the apostles after the ascension of Jesus Christ. The apostolic fathers canonized the Bible. They brought it together. And we studied under the canonicity the tests that were used, that they used to confirm. Was it written by an apostle or did it have apostolic authority? We have a couple of letters in the New Testament that were not written by apostles. Luke and Acts were written by Luke. He was not an apostle. However, he was endorsed by an apostle. So it had to have apostolic authority. And then there were a number of different tests when we studied it. So, and there were men that came together and they formed those books together, because there were many, many, many other letters that were written that claimed, some of them claimed to be written by apostles. There's the book of Barnabas, and you still hear about that today. Why isn't that included? Well, because they determined it wasn't really written by Barnabas. It claimed to be written by him, but it was written by somebody else. It wasn't written by Barnabas at all. So it did not have apostolic authority. So that letter is called pseudepigrapha, which means false epistles and false writings. And there were a lot of those false writings. And that's why they went through the process of canonization. So people would be able to tell, okay, these are the ones that actually were written by the apostles. How do we find that out? From the apostolic fathers. The apostolic fathers received those letters from the apostles, and they knew which ones came from the apostles. Today, we can go back and we can toss it around and we can argue about it, we can debate about it, we can guess about it, but we don't know. Really and truly, we don't know. We have to go back and we have to research, why didn't they accept that as a book of the Bible? And that just really settles it for me when those apostolic fathers, by the way, in the first century following Christ, in the 100 ADs, that there was a published canon of the Bible that included almost all the books that we have in the New Testament. I think the one book that wasn't included, or some of the books that weren't included, was the book of Revelation, which was included by other apostolic fathers later on. But for the largest part, the Bible has been settled from the very, very beginning. So we can put all our confidence that we have the whole Word of God before us today. The thing we got to remember, more than even man's ability to corrupt the Word of God, is God's great power to preserve and protect His Word. Because God promised in His Word to protect His Word to how many generations? To all generations. The Word of God, it says in the New Testament, will endure how long?
Forever.
And I believe God more than I believe man. These men who arose in the 1800s, Westcott and Hort, and those with them, the textual critics, that still goes on today, and those who throw doubt at the Word of God, you're saying, I had a professor one time say, you cannot possibly believe that the Bible could have come through all those years and all those different languages in the hands of men without corruption. And I said, you're putting too much emphasis on man and no emphasis on God. I believe God is able and more powerful than the corruption of any man. And God promised to keep His Word, and I believe we have it, and this is it. Had a man talk to me, he called me on the phone the other day, and he was talking to me about this Bible itself, about the Bible. And he was interested in the King James Version easy reading. I happen to have read that and compared it to the King James Bible, because it claimed to be translated from the Textus Receptus by men that believe like I believe, like we believe. And so they claimed it was a easier reading version of the King James Version of the Bible. And I read the whole thing and I wrote my notes down. I was very critical. And they changed some words. And I made notes of those words and I posted it all on my website. I probably had, I don't know, 30 pages. I don't know if it's that many. 15 pages of typed up notes. And wrote a little discourse about why I won't use that version of the Bible. Because if you change one word, God said, don't change a single word. You've changed God's Word. And he was saying, well, but, you know, some people have trouble reading this King James Version of the Bible. And I looked at him and said, all it takes is some diligent study. 2 Timothy 2:15, if you'll study to show yourself approved. It won't take you very long at all, and you'll understand this King James Bible. Yes, it'll take a little bit of work. That's what the word study implies. And I said this to him, and here's the thing you've got to remember. The Holy Spirit in our subject today is illumination. Who illuminates the Bible? Who illuminates the Bible? What does that mean that the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible? What does that mean? He opens our understanding. He brings light into the Word. He makes it come alive. He makes the true meaning of the Word come into us and helps us to understand it. We get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, by the way. That's what we're studying today. The Holy Spirit's illumination ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is our key verse this morning. Go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we could read that whole passage, but just basically verse 14. Somebody, let's read it all together. All together in unison. Everybody ready? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. Why can't the natural man receive the things of the Holy Spirit?
Because he does
not have the Holy Spirit. When do we get the Holy Spirit? When we are born again. Born again. When you receive Romans 10:9. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. You're saved and you receive the Holy Spirit. At that very moment. And the Holy Spirit goes to work illuminating the Word of God, helping you to understand the things of God. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. He can't understand the deep things of God. Jump back up to verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us. What's that? Spiritual truths, the Word of God. By His what?
Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, and here's a key, deep things of God. So once you have the Holy Spirit starts illuminating the Word of God and helping you to understand even the deep things of God in all the oceans of the depth of the glory and the wonder of God that the Holy Spirit starts to illuminate in you. Now I got to ask you something. The Holy Spirit illuminates what? The Word of God. The Word of God. He doesn't just illuminate the inside of you and all of a sudden you have all this. He illuminates the Word of God. What if you're carrying a book you call a Bible that's not the Word of God? Can the Holy Spirit illuminate that? And He will not. And I said to that man, I said, if that Bible is not the inerrant, perfect, plenary Word of God, the Holy Spirit cannot work through that Bible. You want the Holy Spirit to illuminate you. You want the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, yea, the deep things of God. You better be sure you're carrying the Word of God. You think it's just a light thing. You think the word changes and the verse changes don't really matter. I'll tell you right now, the Holy Spirit cannot work through anything but the Word of God. He looked at me and he said, you know, I hesitate to call the King James Bible the inspired Word of God. And I instantly replied to him and said, I do not. I do not even begin to wrestle with that. This is the Word of God in English for us today. If this is the perfect, inerrant Word of God for my generation, then it is inspired by God because those original writings were inspired by God. And I will not hesitate to call this the inspired Word of God. It had better be the inspired Word of God. If you don't believe it's the inspired Word of God, then the Holy Spirit can't work through it. And you better just put it down and stop studying it at all. Well, I know. I know that 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 this is the inspired Word of God. And the Holy Spirit moves and teaches and illuminates this word. I have to have the perfect, plenary, inspired word of God, or I can't have the work of the Holy Spirit in me. Now, there are those people who would say, well, wait a minute. I have felt the Holy Spirit move in me in my modern translation of the Bible. And I've got a response for that, by the way. You have felt a spiritual movement. But just because you felt a spiritual movement doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. Because I'll tell you right now, God has said if you drop a single word out of the Bible, it's not His word. And the Holy Spirit won't move through it. So there's a spirit moving in you, but what spirit is it? Because remember, the Bible says to try the spirits whose they are. There are many spiritual voices out here. The devil comes to us and he tries to convince us that he's the Holy Spirit. And he tries to move in us through his many demons and his many imps. They're spiritual voices. And you may be experiencing a spiritual voice. But I guarantee you, if it's telling you that anything's the Word of God, that's not the Word of God. That's not coming from God. How do I know that? Because it's the Word of God. It's written in the Word of God. You know, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, God says this. He says, if a prophet come to you, and he declare to you something that is against my word, against my law, against my teachings, and it comes to pass, but it's against my teachings. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I can show you the text. I'll go back and look it up sometime, but I don't have it. I don't have the reference in my mind. But he says, if it come to pass, I sent him to test you to see if you will believe my word. So God sends a preacher. He's carrying a version of the Bible that's not the word of God. He's preaching up there and you feel a spiritual presence confirming his message. You know what God is doing according to His Word? He's testing you to see if you will believe His Word or you'll follow that false prophet. He says it in His Word. And people get deceived by that. Why? Because this is the truth. Jesus said, where do we find truth? Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Jesus, when He was praying in John 17, said, Thy Word is truth. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. But He cannot, and He never will, and He will not illuminate anything that is not God's Word. Is not God's Word. You know, some people, they get all excited and they get goosebumps when a professor teaches them something about the Bible that seems really deep and seems really well studied and seems really eloquent. And they will say, because they got inspired by that professor, that the Holy Spirit was moving. I tell you, there are a lot of things that give you goosebumps in this world. It doesn't have to be the Holy Spirit. Yes. Can people get saved from another version of the Bible? You know what? People were getting saved before there ever was a Bible. All the way through the book of Acts, there was not recorded in the whole history of the book of Acts, there was not an epistle written yet. And people were getting saved. Yes, people can get saved from a testimony. I'll tell you what, people can get saved from a Satanist priest resisting the gospel of Jesus Christ while he's speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, you can get saved from something that's not the Word of God. Yes, you can hear the gospel. Listen, I believe, according to the Word of God, that God has put the light of Jesus, a little bit of the light of Jesus in every man. And the way you've heard me say it before, the book of Romans says that every man, even the atheist, has the knowledge of God in him. He knows there's a God. Now, some guys would say, okay, I know there's a God, I'm agnostic, but I'm not sure Jesus is God. And I'll look at them and say, you're wrong too, you're lying. Because in John chapter 1, God says He's put a little bit of the light of Jesus in you, so that when you hear the gospel, you can't explain it. Somehow you just know it's right. You just know the gospel is right. Listen, you can get saved without ever even looking at a Bible, without ever seeing the Word of God. Now, what will happen, though, is if you really get saved and you really receive the Holy Spirit will start stirring in you and He'll start working in you. And when you look at those false translations of the Bible, those other modern translations, something in you is just going to tell you something's wrong. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you need the Word of God. You know how I know that? Because that's what happened to me. I wasn't in a church when I got saved. I was on board the USS Trenton as a sergeant in the Marine Corps. I heard the gospel. I was reminded of the gospel. I got saved. I went down to the chaplain's office and asked for a Bible. He just happened to hand me a King James Bible, a Gideon's. By the way, in that year, the Gideon's only printed King James Bibles. They didn't print any other translation. Today, they print every translation that's out there and probably don't print much of the King James Bible anymore, which just breaks my heart. I would support the Gideons, except for I won't support all those translations of the Bible because they're the devil's book. People need the Word of God. But it just so happened that chaplain gave me a King James Bible. I went down to the rack, read John 3:16, said, Jesus, I don't even know if I'm doing this right. I just know I need you in my life. He saved me. The Holy Spirit came into me. And boy, that Bible just lit up. We started a couple days later. A guy came and asked me about it. We started a Bible study. He came. We were studying our King James Bible. Another guy came. This guy came and he was carrying another translation of the Bible. I've only been a Christian for a week. I've only been saved for a week. Soon as we started reading, because what we'd do is we didn't know how to do a Bible study. We'd read a chapter, taking turns reading differently. You know, you read five verses, I'll read five verses. Went around the room. Soon as he read out of his Bible, and we were reading out of ours, we looked at it and said, wait a minute, yours doesn't say the same thing as mine. And I tell you right then the Holy Spirit started convicting me. I didn't know the answer, but I started studying to show myself approved. But what I did discover is that in the Bible, God said He would keep His Word perfect. He said He would not let one word perish from His Bible. There were verses missing out of that Bible. There were verses in this Bible that weren't in that Bible. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started telling me already, right there, as a brand new Christian, where to find the Word of God. I settled and landed on this King James Bible, and in all my years of study, I have studied, I have looked at manuscripts, I have compared manuscripts. I know the background behind the philosophy of the modern translations of the Bible, and I still, to this day, stand on this King James Bible as the inerrant, infallible, perfect, plenary, preserved Word of God, inspired by God. The Holy Spirit will tell you. Now what happens is you start looking at all the churches out here using those other translations. And you start hearing, you go to the Bible bookstore and you listen to that clerk telling you, well, what kind of Bible do you want? Which one is good for you? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is what God says. They're asking the wrong question. And so people start asking the question, which one do I think I understand the best? Do you want to understand the Bible from your point of view, or do you want to understand it from God's point of view? Do you want the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word of God, or do you want to try to illuminate it yourself? That's the question in the modern translations of the Bible. And I'll tell you what I want. I want God's Word. I want the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And yes, this King James Bible, it stands against modern culture. It stands against many of the tendencies of our days. It tells us right from wrong. It says homosexuality is an abomination. But by the way, it also says that sexual immorality is an abomination in the sight of God. It also says that that there will be philosophizers in our world teaching false religious ways that look very much like Christianity, but are not Christianity. It tells me that in the end times, which we are in, Jesus will be on the outside of the church trying to get into the church, not inside the church. And I determined as soon as I read that in the Bible, I don't want a church where Jesus is on the outside. I want a church where Jesus is on the inside, which means I need to be in a church where the Word of God is present. Because Jesus won't be in a church where the Word of God isn't present. Some people look and they say, but look at the masses they have. Look at the number of attendees. You look at that big church by, Stephen Osteen. And you look at all the people in that Colosseum. And I have heard that man argue that Muslims could be going to heaven, that you don't have to have Jesus to go to heaven. That man doesn't even know the gospel. Some people say, but at the end of every one of his service, he invites people to come up and receive Jesus, but he doesn't know the gospel himself. He may say the words, but he doesn't know what they mean. And they assume that because there are the masses there, he must be right. Now let me tell you what Jesus said. Broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to righteousness, and few there be that find it. The church has always been a remnant. I had much rather be in a small church where I, as a pastor, have to go to work every day to earn my living and to be in a church where Jesus and the Word of God is present than to have masses in the church. Would I like to have more people in the church? I would love it. But I'm not going to sacrifice the Word of God to get it.
Amen.
And that's the problem in our day. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word of God, but He will only illuminate the Word of God. And please understand what that means today. It means that there's a bookstore right down here in town full of all kinds of Bibles, and there's only a handful of them in there that the Holy Spirit will truly illuminate. When I pastored at Sugar Creek, when I first took that ministry, I knew it was going to be a struggle. They were a Southern Baptist church. I told them, their pulpit committee, when they were interviewing me and getting ready to call me, I said a couple things to them. I said, number one, I'm a King James Bible preacher. I know where the Southern Baptists are. I know the Southern Baptists use all kinds of versions. I said, but I'm a King James Bible guy. If you call me to come here, there will be King James Bibles in the pews. And I am not friendly toward modern translations of the Bible, and you'll hear me say it. And they said, we're good with that. We're okay with that. I said, really? Okay. Secondly, do you want a pastor or do you want a preacher? You know what they said? They said, what's the difference? I said, a preacher is somebody you hire to come in who stands in the pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and has nothing else to do in the church. He just preaches Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Everything else is handled by the deacons and the other people in the church. A pastor will come in here and will lead every aspect of the church. He will be intimately involved in it all. I'm not saying that he won't hear the people and that people won't work together. We want to work as a team, but the pastor is a leader. He'll be involved in everything. I'm a pastor. I can't come in here and just preach three times a week and keep my mouth shut. If I sense that we're going against the Word of God, you're going to hear me say something. And I'm going to pull Scripture out. And it's going to step on some toes. I said, if you call me, you're calling me as your pastor carrying a King James version of the Bible. And I just want to be very clear with you straight up front. When I stood up and spoke to that church, I told that church the exact same thing to the whole congregation. They voted me in. I can't tell you what, 2.5 years later, they said, nope, that's not what we want at all. They asked me to leave, and here we are, Crossroads Baptist Church. But I kind of figured it would go that way. Why? Because the King James Version of the Bible and standing on it is not the popular thing of the world today. In most churches in our world, believe it or not, while they call themselves Christian, they seem to carry a Bible, they don't have Jesus in the midst of that church. And the Word of God is not the most important thing in their church. Oh, they'll say it's important, but it's not the most important. Having the numbers, appeasing people instead of convicting people and bringing people in alignment with the Word of God is more important to them. Having the numbers and the tithes and offerings is more important to them. And I tell you what, there is nothing more important to me than the Word of God. I'll stand out there in the heat under a tree preaching so long as I'm holding the Word of God rather than being a church building. I'm glad we got this church building, by the way. That's why I insisted that we We build it debt-free. Why? So that I don't ever have to preach to make a mortgage payment. Yeah, you know what? If everybody gets mad at me and stomps out of the church, we'll keep having church here. Not saying y'all going to do that, but I'm just saying. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's the problem in our day. They say the Holy Spirit's illuminating it. Maybe they get goosebumps. Maybe they feel like they're sensing a spiritual presence. Remember, there are many spiritual voices. The Spirit of God can only illuminate the Word of God. If you're holding something that is anything but the Word of God, if it changes one word, it's not the Word of God. And that's what I said to that guy on the phone with that other version of the Bible. I said, you know, it was pretty tantalizing to me, because I was thinking, you know, children, parents come to me all the time. My children are having trouble with the verbiage in the King James Bible, the these and the thous and the s's on the words. And, you know, I look at them and say, you know, that's just a matter of usage. You get them to read it over and over and over again. You get them to look it up in the dictionary. They'll understand it. That's studying to show yourself approved. But we shouldn't go grabbing something that's not the Word of God and trying to call it the Word of God just so that somebody can supposedly understand it. I believe the Holy Spirit is able to do that work because God promised He would do that work. And I very quickly dealt with that. So we haven't really gotten much into this study on the illumination ministry. We'll continue with it next week. But boy, I preached this morning. Those guys who aren't here this morning, boy, they really missed it. But I tell you what, this is so important to me. In our day, in our culture, I have people all the time come to me and they think I'm a radical because I stand on the King James Bible. Why is it? Because I want to know that I hold in my hand the Word of God. Now, some people say, but the Bible was written in Greek, the New Testament, the Old Testament in Hebrew. And I have studied diligently. Not just one manuscript. I've got, like I said, probably 37 manuscripts that I have looked at myself and read and studied and did comparisons. And I tell you, this King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, there are thousands of them out there. 57 complete New Testaments that are ignored by the world. They use one. To translate those modern translations. By the way, as you'll recall, that was lost to the church for 1700 years. They didn't even know it existed. And it pops up in 1700, 1725. And all of a sudden, throw away all those manuscripts. God keeps His word to every generation. The fact that that manuscript wasn't available till 1700 tells me it's not the Word of God, because those saints, William Tyndale, when he was translating the Bible into English, running for his life, having in the end been strangled to death and burned at the stake for trying to translate the Bible into the common language, didn't have that manuscript. He died translating a Bible that would have looked just like this King James Bible because it would have used the same manuscript. You tell me that he didn't have the Word of God, I tell you, you're a liar. That's a lie of the devil. And these modern translations all come from that manuscript that was not known to the church for 1700 years and changes the Word of God. You're going to tell me that thing that popped up in 1700 is the Word of God and nobody had it before then? I tell you, you're a liar. I have the Word of God. I know where it came from. I have spent most of my Christian life examining why I believe this King James Bible is the Word of God. And I know that it is. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but I believe you're here because you do. If we could just get the Word out, amen? Because they're deceived today. Well, we'll continue on next week. Any questions? I'm sorry, I got way off today, but I enjoyed it. Anybody else? Let's pray. Lord, we love You, and we praise You. We thank You for giving us Your Word. And we ask You to be sure, Lord, to help us to be sure that we are always carrying Your Word.
And that your word will feed us. Holy Spirit, move through your word and illuminate it in us. And fill us and guide us and touch us. And Lord God, be magnified. Now guide us as we go into our worship service. And guide me as I speak. Help my voice to hold up through church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.